me to open God's Word and share it with you in the last two Sundays and the Tuesday. What a hymn we just sang. Jesus is passing this way. It could be, as we said last Sunday evening, the last time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And while you're turning there, it's really neat to read the old chapter, but I don't have time to do that tonight. And I need to read part of chapter 25. But I'm just going to briefly tell you the story till I get to where I want to read tonight. In chapter 25, it says that Jacob was cooking up a stew, and Esau comes from the field and is hungry. He's faint. He's about to die, as he feels that way. And he says, "Jacob, give me some of that stew." Jacob says, "I'll tell you what. I'll give it to you under one condition, that you sell me your birthright." Well, he thought it through. He said, "Look, if I die, what good is my birthright? I'll just sell it." So Jacob, give Esau that stew, and he ate it. And the scripture says, he got up as if nothing had happened, and he despised his birthright. We come into chapter 27, and Isaac's now calling Esau to come and go out and get him some venison and make him some good savory meat. He says, "And then after I eat, Esau, I'll bless you." Well, Rebekah heard him, and she calls her son Jacob. She said, "Look, Jacob, your father's about to bless Esau. He sent him out to get some venison. And when he fixes it and eats it, he's going to bless him. Come, you go and get me two kids of the goats. Bring them to me, and I'll fix the meat. And you could go. Your father is blind. He will not know. And you could take him that meat, and you could get the blessing." Esau says, "Mom, there's no way Dad will know. Esau's an hairy guy, and when he feels me, he'll know that I'm a deceiver, and I'll get a curse instead of a blessing." Ah, she said, "Look, leave it to me. I'll just take those skins of the goats, I'll put them on your hands, around your neck, I'll put Isaac's clothes on you, he'll never know. Just go get me the goats." And he goes, and Rebekah fixes the meat, and we come into verse 18 of chapter 27. "And he came to his father, and he said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Who art thou, my son?' And Jacob said unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me.' And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord thy God brought it to me.' And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not.' And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said," he wants to be sure now, "'Art thou my very son Esau?' And listen at Jacob. He said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's venison.' that my soul may bless thee. And it brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he did drink. That's all we'll read for now, and I'm sure the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his precious word. Isaac still favored Esau. It says, Isaac in chapter 25 loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. And it says, Rebekah loved Jacob. Favoritism. We must be careful at home by showing favoritism. I sometimes get the folk when they come to my house for the first time and my children are there, I'll say, that's my favorite daughter, Katie. They look, they stand up, wow! That's my favorite son, Jamie. I say, but let me be quick to say, that's my only son, my only daughter. We must be careful in a home and not show favoritism. And you know, Isaac should have realized Esau should not have got the blessing because he knew he had sold his birthright. Secondly, he knew he had took a wife from those who hated God, which God told him not to do. After all the pains, his father had to get him a wife from another country. But Isaac ignores that, and he's still determined to bless Esau. Of course, that didn't work out. How have you found the venison so quickly? Listen at what he said. The Lord your God gave me success. How he used God's name in the cheat. And so often, people do that today. Use his name in the cheat. And Jacob says, Isaac says, the voice is the voice of Jacob. You know, the sinner speaks sometimes the language of the saint. They're pretty good at it. But, oh, they do the work of a sinner. Just look at them, and you see it. And when Esau realized Jacob, that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he says he cried with a bitter cry. Oh, if he would have only thought about that before he sold his birthright. And saint, friends tonight, if your ear not saved, that day when you knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, and you said, I never knew you, you'll cry with a bitter cry. But it will then be too late. Tonight we're going to divide the message up into three simple sections. First, we're going to look at Esau's foolish exchange. Then we're going to look at Jacob's wicked deception. And then we're going to look at the wages of sin. First, Esau's foolish exchange. His possession, a birthright. Your possession here tonight, every person in here, is a soul. Esau didn't think too much of it. I wonder tonight, if you're here without Christ, how much value are you putting on your soul? Esau's exchange, looking at it. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Folks, tonight, if you don't know the Lord, let me ask you tonight, solemnly, what are you selling your soul for? What are you selling it for tonight? Like Esau, for a little bit of pleasure? a little bit of sin, and then be lost in hell forever. I trust you won't make a foolish exchange on your soul tonight. Note Esau's folly. His appetite was very strong. Give me some of that red pottage. You know, his appetite is just like the appetite that is ruining thousands of people who are in their sin tonight. Give me some more of alcohol. We're talking about it in the prayer room tonight. Give me some more cocaine. Give me some more sin. A strong appetite. You know, surely he could have gotten a meal of food cheaper than selling his birthright. Surely tonight, friends, if you're in your sin, you could get pleasure, clean fun, without selling your soul. Surely you can do that. His reasoning was weak. He says, I'm about to die. And if he were, wasn't it something that he could have done besides selling his birthright? His father was not a poor man. His mother surely wasn't that bad a cook. And surely tonight, friends, can't you do something else besides selling your soul for a little bit of pleasure? His repentance was hidden from his eyes. As I said at the beginning, he ate, he drank, and he went as if nothing had happened. As I listen and look in our community tonight, and I see sin so rampant, people commit sin today and don't even bother them. Open sin and talk with you next day as if they are a child of God. That's the way Esau did it. That's the way he did it. Hebrews 12 and 16 says this. Let us beware of the profane person. The profanity the writer is talking about, he talks about Esau. Says, lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You'll say, how was he profane? How come? It doesn't have to be in speech, folks. It doesn't have to be that. The selling of his birthright caused him to be profane. Because he sold something. He disregarded what God called sacred and called it common and sold his birthright. The result in Esau's life was afterwards. He wanted a blessing, but he was rejected. And folks, if you go out of this life selling your soul for sin, you'll go out into eternity and be rejected of Jesus Christ forever. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, it'll profit you nothing. Nothing. Let's look at some other bad exchanges in Scripture. How about Judas? Judas sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I ask you tonight. First, let me speak to the Christian tonight. You say you've been born again. And yet, there could be no evidence in your life that you're a Christian. I ask you, what are you selling him for tonight? A little bit of fun? To be like the rest of the people? A little bit of money? But if you're here without Christ, what are you selling him for tonight? Probably less than 30 pieces of silver. How sad to sell the Son of God so cheaply. How about Pilate? He made a bad exchange for popularity. Pilate had just said, I find no fault in him. And he's trying to all his best to release the Lord Jesus. And then those chief priests and elders come at him with their last shot. And they said, if you let him go, you're not Jesus' friend. And you know that got him. For popularity, he says, then take him and crucify him. He would rather be the friend of Caesar than the friend of Christ. Folks, I ask you tonight, solemnly, would you rather be the friend of the world or the friend of Jesus Christ? You'll make that decision as you go out of these doors tonight. Whose friend you want to be? Pilate wanted our popularity. How about Felix? Just a few pet sins. Says, and as Paul preaches of righteousness and judgment and temperance, Felix trembled. I wonder how many times you have listened that the word of God here, by radio, by television, or wherever, and the Spirit of God has dealt with you, and you trembled. And yet tonight, you're not saying. Felix says, listen, Paul, when I get a more convenient season, I'll call for you, Paul. Don't worry. Listen to me, friends. Felix never got a more convenient season. He went many times to Paul, but never found it as convenient as that time to trust Christ. How about you? Friend, I want to say tonight, you'll never find a more convenient time than right now as you sit in your seat. You don't have to wait till I finish than to trust Christ. Felix tonight is in the eternal abyss in hell simply because he rejected Christ. What an opportunity he had and missed it. And is lost forever. Secondly, the wicked deception. And let me say at the very beginning, don't let us suppose for a moment that God condones this lie and deception of Jacob. No, he doesn't. God everywhere in Scripture condemns sin in any shape, in any form. It is true that God desired Jacob to get the blessing, but Jacob took the wrong means to obtain it. And let me say, a right end does not justify a wrong means. God would have made another way. God does not condone sin. Look at his mother's influence, verses 6 to 10. I didn't read them. His mother's influence was for evil. And moms, if you're here tonight, be careful how you influence your children. It might determine their eternal destiny. And dads, when you hear it, be sure to correct it. It might determine where they can spend eternity. 1 Kings 22, listen, Uzziah, the son of Ahab, says, did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, Jezebel. And it says, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. You know what? God only let him reign 2 years and took him away. And sometimes God does that with the wicked. Sometimes he's very long-suffering. But he took him out. Wicked counsel. Be careful. But other places in Scripture we see there's good counsel. And oh, we thank God tonight for godly mothers who bring up their children and give them good counsel. How about Anna? She comes, she brings Samuel to the temple. He says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition. Therefore, I've lent him to the Lord the rest of his life. And it says, and Samuel worshipped before the Lord. Even at that young age, Samuel knew how to pray. Influenced for good. Oh, moms, grandmoms, dads, granddads, let's influence our children and grandchildren for good. It's too much sin out there for them. How about Timothy? Paul says, when I call to mind that unfeigned faith, that faith is not a fake, Timothy. When I call that to mind, that was in your grandmother and your mother Lois and in you. Says it makes me rejoice. And then we think of Moses. Moses' mother had him just 2 years. And when he come to that age to make a decision, he said, I would rather suffer with the affliction of the people of God than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What an influence a mom can make on a child. But then we got a wayward boy. You see, he listened to evil counsel. And now he's a wayward boy. Proverbs says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of wicked men. You see, the way of the wicked is as darkness. That's the way they'll take you. The wicked can't get any rest until they bring a person down low and cause them to sin. But Psalmist says, blessed is the man that don't listen, don't walk in the way of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners or sit with them. You know, he disguised his true person, didn't he? Verse 15 and 16 tells us that. And Rebekah put the skins of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. He pretended to be what he was not. Let me say it tonight. Folks, don't pretend to be a Christian. If you're not, you don't fool anyone, only yourself. You cannot fool God, who you're going to have to answer to one day. Here he is. He fooled Isaac. But he didn't fool God. The Lord Jesus is speaking in Matthew 23, and listen to what he says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! For you may clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. What a foolish thing to do, to wash the outside of a cup, which is just to be looked at, and not do any, and leave the inside of the cup dirty, which is to be used. But folks, tonight, if you're here without Christ, you might be trying to make the outside of your life look good, like Jacob pretending to be what you're not. But God looks on the heart, and he knows. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can't pretend. God knows you. You know, he lied openly. He just didn't think a thing about it. Isaac says, art thou my son Esau? And he said, I am. Folks, people, when we sometimes hear us, they name the name of Christ, doesn't mean anything to lie. I'll say it. And Isaac said, art thou my son Esau? Yes, I am. How could he say, I have done what you told me, when he knew it did not come from the field? How could he say, I am your only son, Esau? How could he say, the Lord God gave me success? Jacob lied over and over and over, you tell one lie, then you've got to tell another. The scripture says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's all. That's all. He apparently prospered because his father blessed him. But when we come to Genesis 37, we see that he did not get away with it. The same deception his sons now play on him. He took the goat's skin and put over his hands to deceive his father. Now his sons takes the goat's blood, let me get it right, the goat's blood, and puts it on Joseph's coat and deceives the dad. Listen, folks, the scripture don't lie. He, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Underline it in your Bible. That same thing Jacob reaped. And many times, we reap in greater quantities than we sow. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. He missed the blessing. We don't have time to go into that. Finally, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. To Rebecca, listen. She never saw her son again. After many years, Jacob came back and his mother died. Sin pays wages. You can't fool with God and get away with it. She never saw him again. The wages of sin to Jacob. He lost his good name. Isaac had no more use for him. Some things that sin, some things that we cannot do. And one is sow bad habits and reap a good character. You can't do that. You can't sow jealousy and hatred and reap love and friendship. You can't sow wicked thoughts and reap a clean life. That's impossible. And you can't sow profane words and reap clean speech. That cannot happen. You can't sow disrespect and reap respect. You want respect, you must show it. And you can't sow deception and reap confidence. Those things you cannot do. He lost his good name. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. The scripture says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver gold. A good name means a good reputation. It is the fruit of a good character. And he lost his brother's respect. Verse 48. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Sin pays wages. Sin pays wages. But look at what sin cost the sinner. Friend, if you go out of this life still a sinner, it will cost you your soul. It will cost you your soul. It will cost you salvation. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? We said last week there's no escape. Because one day God will reject you simply because you rejected his son. Sin caused the sinner heaven. How sad to miss that blessed place because of sin. Because you see, the scripture says, there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Folks, that's all going to get to heaven. Nothing that defiles. You see, sin will cause the sinner heaven. But how about what sin brings the sinner? As we wind the message down. It does bring merriment for a while. It does bring some pleasure for a while. But the scripture says, for a season. And if you notice, Satan always gives for a short while. But notice every time God gives, it's eternal. You see, he's a deceiver. And if he could get you to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, then he's won you. Again, as I said last week, I asked just about every person I witnessed to, would you rather have the pleasures of sin for a season, a short time, or would you rather have the pleasures of heaven forever? And without once, every single person has told me, forever. And I remind them, you have to make the choice. Whether you want it here for a while, or whether you want it in heaven for eternity. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will be there. What sin brings the sinner? Yes, a little bit of pleasure for a short time. But finally, sin brings judgment. And to have the judgment of God upon you forever and ever and ever. How sad. Sin brings misery. You know, even here, a sinner is miserable. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. How could there be any peace when there's sin? You look at any unsaved person, there's no peace. They're restless. They're like the troubled sea that cannot find rest. No peace for the wicked. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. Sin brings doom. Whosoever was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And finally, sin brings despair. And I close with this. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and listen at what he says. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed with no hands than having two hands to go into hell. He uses the hands as an illustration, the feet and the eye. And folks, if it's something that you're doing is stopping you from entering into heaven, it's better that you cut them off than to go out into hell with both hands. If it's something that you're looking at that's causing you not to go to heaven, it's better to lose your eyesight. If it's something where you're going with your feet, the wrong place, it's better to lose your feet than to go out of this life without Christ. Sin pays wages. When Leonardo da Vinci was painting his masterpiece, The Last Supper, he sought long for a model of Christ. He finally went into one of the churches of Rome and found a handsome young man who used to sing in the choir. Beautiful picture, beautiful features. And he picked him to portray Christ. Years had passed. All of the Lord's disciples had been painted, all beside Judas. He goes out again, and Leonardo da Vinci goes looking for one he could paint who would look like Judas in his estimation. And as he searches through the streets of Rome, he comes upon a man. And as he looks at him, he shuddered to see how far sin had taken this man. He said, will you come? I would like to paint your picture. And he came and he painted the picture of Judas as he looked at what sin had done to this man. As he was about to leave, he said, "I never got your name, sir." I said, "What is your name?" He says, "I am Pietro Vandinelli. I also set for you as a model of Christ." Friends, sin pays wages. Drastic wages. Death. The wages of sin is death. Thank God it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, tonight you have a choice. Either to choose life or to choose death. The choice is yours. Let us pray. As we bow in these solemn moments, friends, why not choose life over death? Why not choose life to be with the Lord Jesus throughout eternity than to choose death and be in the torments of hell forever? It's a simple choice. It's the best choice. Would you, right where you're sitting now, simply say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sin. I now repent of my sin. I turn to you and receive you as my Savior." Folks, if you would say that tonight from the depths of your heart and mean it, the Lord Jesus says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Right where you're seated, why not do it and tell us after the meeting? We'd love to sit down and encourage you from the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, it is indeed our prayer, and we know it is your desire that everyone would choose life. But you said, Lord, they would not come to you that they might have life. We pray for that soul tonight that is nourished now, that they would let go anything that's holding them back tonight and choose life. Choose Jesus Christ and know that joy of sins forgiven. We realize we cannot create one anxious thought. Spirit of God, we leave it with you. We know that you are able to do the work. And we commend these dear people to you who might still be in their sin. We ask your pardon with your blessing as we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Could we sing one verse? I know I've gone a couple minutes over. Forgive me. I try not to do that. You know, I try to be in time. 245. 245. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now, friends, reject him no more. Just now, throw open the door and let Jesus come into your heart. Do that and tell us that we can rejoice with you. First verse in the chorus and the meeting will be over.